Good morning, everyone. Are you resting on that rock? Do you know you're resting on that rock? Do you know that you're secure in this blessed refuge? The title this morning is, Are You Sure or Doubting? And it's a blessing to be secure, to have that assurance of salvation, to have the for sure knowledge that salvation is real. It's real in my life. I've been forgiven, and being secure in that is a real blessing. Can anyone tell me why that might be important? Why is it important that we know that we're assured of it? Some people say it's not important, but I believe it is important. Why is it important? You may face death the next moment, and if you're not sure, that would be a really scary proposition. Satan lies. He wants us to, take away that assurance. He wants to make us question and doubt.
If we don't know, we're not going to have a stable walk. We'll be wishy-washy.
If we don't know, we're going to be... Every time we're going to have these doubts, and we won't be able to have a solid, stable Christian walk. Some people go back to, they need to get saved again because they weren't sure, and again, and again, and again.
Being convinced of something 100% produces action. So we're assured of our place in life, it produces action.
When we know we're saved, it's going to affect our life. I'd like to hear from you, all of you that are Christians, that have given your life to Jesus. Put your thumb out in front of you like this. And if you say that I struggle a lot to be assured, be honest, put it up like this. And if you don't struggle a lot, put it there or anywhere in between. I like to see where are we? Don't have to be ashamed of it, because it's reality that we struggle with this sometimes. So if you struggle a lot, or you rarely struggle with it, well, thank you for your honesty. I appreciate that. And so as we go through this, you've identified where you are in this. And some of you are very secure. Let's be encouraging to the other people who are not. And some of you are not very secure. And that's not condemnation if you're not, but God does want to bring you to that assurance. So, what are the ways, I want to hear from you again, what are the ways that Satan makes you doubt? Maybe, whether it's you personally or whether you've seen him doing that in the lives of other people. Thank you very much, Titus. What does Satan do to make us doubt that assurance? Make us wonder. Yes. He reminds you of your past sins. And we'll get to the solutions to this. Let's just stay on, what does Satan do to make us doubt?
When you stumble, he says you never change.
Wants you to focus on failures. The accuser of the brethren. Well, I see a picture of that in Job. You know, he went before God and he said, Job is just doing this because of what he gets out of you. And he'll do that to us too. He'll accuse us. This isn't real. Sometimes he says, I'm too bad. God couldn't save me. God couldn't save you. Made too many mistakes. But the reality is that if a Christian is going to continue, is going to repent and come back and make those things right, maybe he says you're still tempted by sin. And if you really had a heart after God, you wouldn't face these temptations. You wouldn't be tempted by these things. These are bad things you're being tempted by. But the reality is, the forces of darkness know us quite well. They've been around for thousands of years seeing how humans behave, and they've been taking a look at you and seeing where your weak points are, and they craft temptations just to make you fall. That's no excuse for us, but it is reality that they know where we're weak. Maybe Satan says, you've yielded to temptation, and because you've yielded, you must not have been saved. I think we alluded to that one before. Maybe God's not answering your prayers, or at least answering them in the way that you think he should. And so Satan uses that as an opportunity to say, God's not real. Your salvation's not real. Maybe you're not hearing God speak to you, so I must not have a relationship with God. The reality is God speaks to us in different ways. And when God speaks to us in a way that we can sense him directly, that's a beautiful thing. But sometimes we don't. We go through dark times when God seems to be far away. Reality is God does speak to us. Every one of us have the Bible, and I think all of us who are Christians can read it. We have parents, we have godly people around us that are speaking the words of God, that are speaking truth. God is speaking to us. Are we willing to listen? Maybe we feel condemned by sin that we've committed. 1 John 3:18, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. We know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before him. He's saying, this is how we're going to, can we assure our hearts. Whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Sometimes our heart condemns us, but are we going to listen to our heart, or are we going to listen to what God says about us? Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. That's how God wants us to walk, that our heart is not condemning us. But sometimes our heart's wrong. Our heart's deceitful. And so we have a choice to make. Are we going to listen to what our heart's telling us or the truth that God's telling us? And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit who he has given us. When we obey God, God has a connection. He abides in us, we abide in him. And then we can have that confidence. We can know. Sometimes, I think maybe Art, you mentioned this, that he wants us to look at our sins. But we need to spend more time looking at our Savior than looking at our sins. Sometimes we get discouraged. Discouragement makes us feel like we don't have that real relationship. Maybe salvation's not real. We're tempted with awful things. Maybe we become so discouraged we think of thoughts of suicide or think thoughts of doing horrific things. Or we have doubts. Is God real? Does he really love me? Am I really saved? And Satan wants us to dwell on those things and continue to be dragged down further and further. God doesn't want our lives to be dominated by this sort of thing, but the reality is sometimes we do face these things. He wants to give us victory over our doubts, give us victory over our fears, but facing these things don't mean that we're not saved, because it is the reality that we do face some of these things sometimes. Negative thoughts, feelings are part of the human experience. And if that's you, Satan wants you to feel isolated and alone. He wants you to feel like no one else faces this. It's not true. So reach out. We're not made to fight these battles alone. We're made to live as a part of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, and community. Because the people around you, godly people around you, do care. And if they don't know that you're facing these things, how can they help you? So reach out. Ask for help. But Satan wants to tell us that nobody else would understand. If you admitted that you struggle with that, people would look down on you. But God wants to God can bless us when we're open, when we're honest, when we're willing to confess the things we struggle against. He wants to surround us. He has surrounded us with a loving community that cares about us, that wants to encourage us, wants to lift us up. So what is, these are the things that Satan wants us to believe. But what is the truth? I want to spend more time focusing on the truth than on the lies that Satan wants to put in front of us. What are the truths about these things?
What I understand from the other side, so Satan puts a wrong thought into your mind, and then I felt condemned because this thought was there. And I had to learn that the battle, it was, you can't keep Satan from throwing that thought at you, but you need to reject it by God's help, which means not continuing to dwell on it. You cast it out. And so he would send the wrong thought, and then he sends you condemnation, yet because this thought was there. And you get this wild battle going on in your mind. No, you just say, you know, like, yeah, you pray and ask God to help you to reject this. Because it came there and you rejected it, it's not sin. And I didn't understand that, you know, when I was younger.
Thank you for that, Gerald. That's a very good point, that a thought, whatever it might be, some kind of evil thought can come into our mind, and that is not sin. Satan, it's a temptation. The sin is to continue to dwell on that, continue to believe that lie, act on that wrong temptation. But if we are, through God's strength, cast it out, put our minds on the things that God wants us to, that's what he wants us to do, and not to become overwhelmed by those dark thoughts, definitely, by those wrong thoughts. Yes.
Take it and shut it down. Take it captive.
Yes, that's excellent. So what is the truth? That's a broad question, but as it relates to these, to discouragement, doubts, fears, what are the truths? Yes. God's word is truth.
Yeah, so if there's something around us that doesn't align with what God says in his word, then what we see is not necessarily the truth, but what God says is the truth. Like, it was impossible in the human mind and the human way of seeing it for Peter to walk on water. That's impossible. And we would say, hey, that's a lie. Hey, I heard this guy was walking in the water. That's not true. But when Jesus said, come, that became the truth, what he said. So that's what he was able to do.
And I think these truths, we need to, when God says something, we need to accept it, whether it makes sense or not. There, Peter made that choice. I'm going to believe God. I don't know, probably most of the other disciples thought he's a goner. But which was true? Are we going to say, here's what God says is true? If we put the filter of human reasoning between God's truth and our lives, we will reject a lot of God's truth, because human reasoning, God gave it to us for us to use. But we don't use human reasoning on the things that God says. When God says it, it is true. We need to accept it, absolutely. Now the truth is, we deserve God's punishment. And that is real. And Satan will bring that to us, but it's not the only truth. If we were judged by our deeds, we would all be condemned. Our best righteousness, the Bible calls filthy rags. But Jesus paid to redeem our sins, no matter how bad. God is big enough to forgive every sin. And how much we trust and believe that, what he said about that, that our forgiveness is real and bigger than our sins, will determine how much we trust. There's a story of someone who moved to Alaska, and they were walking along. I guess it was back before there were a lot of roads and bridges, and he came to a river he needed to cross. There was ice on the river, and so he thought, well, it's winter, it's cold, it's probably all right for me to walk across. So he steps gingerly out onto the ice. And just as he stepped out onto the ice, he thought he heard it start to crack a little bit. So he thought, well, I need to get across, so I'm going to get down. And he got down on all fours, and he just real slowly inched across the ice. It took him a long time. He was just really carefully easing across on the ice. And as he was almost to the other side, he heard something in the distance, and it was a Jeep coming. And the Jeep drove right across the ice with no problems. And it changed his perspective. It changed everything. He got up and walked, and he had confidence. How much confidence do you have in what God says about your salvation? Are you creeping cautiously lest it crack under your weight? Or do you believe? Do you have the confidence? God said it, so I believe it. Yes.
Seems like 10,000 people know that they went to heaven automatically. And Jesus said that Christ in us is our hope of glory. So somewhere in all this, let's not forget that when the King of Glory comes and lives in our hearts, he leaves a witness. And that's a witness that we root in, we believe in, we trust in, not acquiring the knowledge of true things in our minds. You know what I'm saying? It must become personal. We must have a birthplace. We must have a birth of Jesus Christ in our life somewhere. And that's what brings a steadfast assurance. And some say, well, you should never question someone's salvation, but I guess I believe that it's such a critical part of the Christian life that maybe it's better to question it and have them go back and be reassured than to have them actually live a Christless life and never be questioned, rather propped up. You know, that's just a...
Yeah, and a lot of these verses we're going to be looking at here later talk about the evidences and how we can know. And that would be certainly something is real to that we do need to legitimately question, because there is a reality. Some people believe they're saved and they're not. But I guess what inspired me to share this is several people in the survey mentioned that they do struggle with discouragement and lack of assurance of salvation. And so I think the focus today, while is going to be on finding that assurance and the evidence of that, and certainly there would be a place for kind of the flip side of that to say, is it real? But it's not quite my focus today. Another thing is that's really, really important, I think, is that our salvation rests on with God and his work in our lives, not on our feelings. There's a story of a woman who went to a gospel meeting, and she was not sure about her salvation. The evangelist quoted to her anxious soul the assurance of Isaiah 53:6 and led her to simply take God at his word and to depend upon Christ for the remission of sin. She went home rejoicing, but the next morning came downstairs with tears in her eyes. Her little boy, who had been with her in the meeting the night before, asked, "Mama, what is troubling you?" "Oh," was the answer, "last night I felt that I was saved, but now it seems like a dream. I fear I am deceived." "Mama," said the little lad, "get your Bible and turn to Isaiah 53:6. She did so and read, "The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." "Mama, is the verse still there?" "Yes, my son." "Then your sins were laid on Jesus," said the wise lad. The mother saw the truth. She took God's word without regard to her feelings, and then God's peace came to stay. Is that verse still there? It rests. Our feelings are going to be all over the place. But question, and I've showed this before here, so maybe some of you remember it, but one of the children, "Can you tell me which direction this train is supposed to go? Point. Which way is it going to go? Why should it go that way?" But why? That's right. You're right. What's up front? And does the engine have to come first? That's right. And if we think of this, the engine is facts. I'm sorry, I got this wrong. The next car is faith. And the last car is our feelings. that this is the truth that God has said, and we always need to let that be first in our life. Followed by that is faith. It's a belief in those facts. But sometimes our faith is weak. Sometimes our faith gets derailed. But if it's always connected to the facts, the truth that God says, it's always going to be going in the right direction, and it'll get back on the tracks. And the feelings, it can be all over the place. They can be in the ditch. They can be riding high off the tracks. But if we always allow our feelings to follow the truth and our faith, it will keep us in the on the right course. And if we try to go the other way, we'll be in trouble. So, ecstatic feelings don't save us any more than discouraged feelings doom us. Feeling wonderful doesn't mean we're saved, and feeling terrible doesn't mean we're lost. I think that's so important to remember. If we're going to follow feelings in our life, it's going to lead us on a journey that looks a lot like addiction, looking for the next high. And it's very true that following God does take us on to some very good places, some good feelings. But if that's what we're chasing, if that's what we're following, whatever it might be that gives you a spiritual high, whether it's worship music or singing or a Bible conference, whatever it might be, reality is we can't live there all the time. And if we're chasing that, it's really not much different than an addiction. We're looking for a high. The reality is that we go through the valley of the shadow of death and the green pastures by turns. Christian life has both of those things. Can't live on the mountaintop forever. Mountaintop experiences are wonderful, but growth happens in the valleys. And another thing that's a truth is that good works are a result of salvation, not a prerequisite for it. Salvation comes first and good works follow it. We can't do anything good on our own. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. So how can I know that I'm saved? I think it could be a lot of answers to that, but I think of three things. Obedience. Jesus talks about, the Bible talks about, love to Christ brings obedience. Not legalistic obedience. Probably most of us can muster doing the right thing by gritting our teeth hard enough. But it has to be heart of love that flows out in obedience. And repentance, turning from the old ways, changing directions. And baptism is also a part of that as well. I'd like to read some verses, what the Bible says about assurance. And don't turn to these verses, but just listen and absorb what God has to say to you. Maybe close your eyes if you want to just focus on what God has to say. And let these truths that are from God just saturate you. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth, even after my skin is destroyed. Yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes will see, and not another. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Epaphras sends his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm unto the end. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the men of old gained approval. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment but has passed out of death into life. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, with God, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has been truly perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. The one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because he, as he is, so also are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed, for there is no distinction between the Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you continue in my word, then are you truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever, that is, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. The Bible has a lot to say about that trust, that belief, that rest that he wants to give us. Question is, are you able to accept that? Do you believe what God says about you? You still have doubts. Don't keep living in those doubts. Don't stay there. God doesn't want us to be there. We all struggle sometimes. But God doesn't want us to stay there. If there's something in your life that is coming between you and God, repent and make it right. But don't succumb to doubts, fears that Satan plants in your heart to attack you. Find that help in the community of faith. Ask for prayer and testimony time. Find someone you trust. Don't stay living with that lack of assurance.